You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 38 of this season's Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles. And I am delighted to be joined on the line by the editor of the Toolstation Western League bulletin. It is Mr. Tom Hiscott. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, thanks. Yeah, and yourself?
Well, I'm recovering from a weekend in Brixham.
Weekend in Brixham, that sounds entertaining.
It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
Good visit.
It was. I brought my family down. Weather was absolutely gorgeous.
It was a nice weekend, wasn't it, actually? So, yeah.
And, you know, timed that well. Brixham is one of the most picturesque, I don't know, what can you call it? Holiday destinations, fishing ports, Devon fishing ports. I mean, it's just whichever way you want to cut it, Brixham is just one of the most beautiful places that you can, you know, you can ever hope to visit. And on a glorious day like, you know, we had on Saturday, it was just absolutely breathtaking. Had a lovely, some more lovely fish and chips. The regular listeners will be surprised to know that that's the way I went, but it was. some lovely fish and chips before the game. We got down there in good time. And then a really, really lovely afternoon with some really lovely football people, really good Western League football people, both from Brixham, who were fantastic hosts, and also Barnstable, who lovely to catch up with them. I mean, those guys were banging the drum all the way through the game, and they got their equaliser because it's one of the games we're not going to cover, so it was a 1-1 draw.
I was going to say, how was the game?
It was a bit brutal. It was full on. It was it was blood and thunder. I mean, it really was. It was it was a cracking game. And I was doing a bucket collection, which I probably should have said right at the beginning. We were doing that for Devon Mind, who've been absolutely fantastic for us ever since we started this partnership. You know, lovely reception as always. People really, you know, pleased to sort of support the cause, and also, you know, lovely to get comments about the podcast as well. You know, it's lovely to meet some of the people who listen every week. So, you know, very important for me. But absolutely marvelous day. Really, really, you know, really good.
Lovely.
And as soon as, you know, we've got the, I mean, we'll stick it on the website like we always do. We'll find out how much money we raised. But, I mean, it's not really the point. The point is to talk about the issue, which we did with many people, and that was fantastic. But I had a lovely day. I had a lovely weekend with my family down in that part of the world. So, really, Western League football at its very, very best. So there we go. Right then. We are here to talk about the fixtures played on Saturday, the 20th of April. And it was a bit of history was made, or nearly made, I think is probably the right way to introduce this game. A cracking game. I mean, if you weren't in the beautiful Devon port city of Brixham, then you really wanted to be in the Cornish heartland, the engine room that is Helston Athletic, because they took on Buckland Athletic. Of course, this was always going to be one of the biggest games of the season. Two sides, you know, no quarter asked for, no quarter given. And that's really how it ended up, wasn't it, Tom?
Absolutely was, yeah. So Helston have had a busy week playing lots of games, and no bigger than Thursday night as well. We must touch on that, where they had a club record attendance of 1,179. I've had to read that twice, three times, four times, just to double check that was how many people turned out at Kellaway Park on Thursday for their huge clash with Falmouth. And having come through that one goal to nil on Thursday, that set them up on Saturday for the Buckland game, and they prevailed again by 3-2, which has put them on the brink of the title. I know we're going to touch on the ramifications later, but this pretty much wrapped up the title. Holding off a strong opponent to do so. Another victory by one goal. Tight games at this time of the season, but yeah, Helston wouldn't have any other way. Another win and another 3 points, which is crucial for them. And it was their 100th goal of the campaign that got the ball rolling on Saturday. Sam Carter scoring that one after 10 minutes, put them in front. But yeah, Buckland coming back into it. We knew they wouldn't lie down. And Jared Lewington, he's having another stellar season in front of goal, leading marksman in the Premier Division, and he made it one apiece after 19 minutes, so a good start to the game. for the neutral, I suppose. But that was that probably put Helston on edge a little bit, because obviously the 3 points were crucial. They did then retake the lead, which was important to ease the nerves, and then went 3-1 up early in the second half, and that was substitute Stevie Colwell finding the back of net. So 3-1 lead early in the second half, but yet again Buckland did try and come back into it, but left it a little bit too late. It was Lewington again scoring a second of the afternoon, but that was how it remained, and it was a 3-2 win for Helston, which has taken them 3 points clear at the top. Only a ridiculous goal difference change on the final day will overturn their title.
Yeah. I watched another fantastic highlights package from Pirin Films on Sunday morning when I was sat there in my hotel room. Absolutely. It's a great package if you want to go and watch it. I think if you're a Helston fan, it's one of those things that will really resonate with you. Not so much if you're a Buckland fan, clearly. But, Helston have poured an awful lot of emotion into this season, as they have in, you know, all the seasons that they've been with us. And in that package, I think it comes through just how important it is to everybody, including their chief commentator, Steve Massey, for what they've achieved this season. So a huge salute to them. And I can assure you, listeners, they will get their opportunity to reflect on this season on the podcast. But now we'll move on to matters at the other end of the table. Now, Wellington, of course, joined us, Richard Cherry, last week on the podcast. They came up against Oldland Abertonians. Now, I've been convinced that Oldland were going to get going, but Oldland haven't really got going. Wellington have, and their good form in this second half of the season continued on Saturday, didn't it, Tom?
Absolutely did. Yeah, they've been doing well, as you say, recently, and another win for them on the weekend, which guarantees their place in the Premier Division next year. Four off relegation, well, and a 2-0 win for them on the weekend, and it was a variety of goals for them, we'll say. Long range early in the second half from Josh Lukins putting them in front, so goalless first half, but then Wellington, as I say, taking the lead early in the second. And then it was a stoppage time tap-in from Alex Cherry, which wrapped up the points. So a long ranger and a short ranger, both count the same. And Wellington grabbed the 3 points. A 2-0 win for them, away at Oldland, as I say, ensures their survival in the Premier Division.
Now, moving on to Shepton Mallet, who, by their own standards, I think, I don't know whether we can say they've been going under the radar. They've been going very, very well. They've been going very often, I think Aaron Sevier would probably reflect. But the visitors were Falmouth Town. And, I think this was one of the games we talked about on last week's podcast. Who would win, again, in this titanic clash between two really good sides? Now, in terms of form this season, I think what Falmouth have achieved, particularly in the Vars, of course, is outstanding. But the rebuilding job that Aaron Sevier has consistently talked about when I've interviewed him, Shepton Mallet are well ahead of the curve, and they proved it on Saturday.
Yeah, they did, absolutely. So obviously we did touch on Falmouth's game with Helston that had happened on Thursday, when they did succumb to that 1-0 defeat, which, big, big title game between those sides. And unfortunately for the F Troop, they were away from home again on Saturday, and they came unstuck once more. 2-0 defeat for them, and it was, as you say, Mallet. This is a real fillip for them going into next year, managing to topple Falmouth. And it was a goal from Cam Allen late in the first half, which set them on their way. And that was, that goal was pretty much all that separated the sides for the entire afternoon. It stayed 1-0 for the majority of the second half before an injury time effort from Paul Braithwaite wrapped things up, putting Mallet two goals to the good. Another huge crowd, I'm sure that will have been influenced by the away support, no doubt. I think it was 3-3-1 were there on Saturday afternoon, so more great stuff. And yeah, fingers crossed Falmouth continue that into next year, because they are, they're bringing some big attendances with them wherever they go. But unfortunately for that, for Falmouth and their supporters, they did fall to back-to-back losses at the wrong point of the campaign. But for Mallet, absolutely excellent result. A 2-0 win for them on Saturday afternoon.
And our final game in the Premier Division that we're going to cover on this week's podcast is a real basement battle. Quite possibly a six-pointer, or even more than that. It was the game between Welton Rovers and Millbrook. Millbrook have shown signs of really turning around what was an absolutely disastrous season. Welton Rovers, who started brightly, of course, have found good form very, very hard to come by. They managed to get over the line on Saturday, Tom.
They did. This was a game with lots of jeopardy for all the wrong reasons, as you say. Wrong end of the table. Welton probably, obviously Millbrook have had the tougher of the seasons. Very few things to cheer about, but they have shown signs of life recently. But Welton at home under pressure and had the worst possible start, falling behind in the fourth minute. Millbrook going ahead. And that was coming courtesy of a goal from Vincent Innes, so putting the away side ahead. But fair credit to Welton. They've been enduring some tough times recently, but they fired back well. Joe Cattermole and Logan Cassidy in particular, he was influential, setting up the opener and then scoring himself. There was a goal then on the hour mark from Brandon Opateri, putting them 3-1 up. So Welton looking like they'd done the business at that point. They did have to hold off a late charge from the away side. Jay Boyle scoring pretty late on, but it was just about enough for Welton, and they opened up that 9-point buffer at the bottom. So, big win for Welton at home to Millbrook.
So I'm delighted to welcome, for the first time, Ben Carter, the manager of Welton Rovers, to the Toolstation Western League podcast. Welcome, Ben. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us. And congratulations on your win at the weekend. I mean, you must have been absolutely delighted to get that.
Yeah, it was good to sort of finally get the win over the line. We've had a couple of disappointments in the weeks leading up to Saturday's game. If I'm completely honest, I think it was one of the poorer performances that the lads have put in since I've taken over. But I think what was important is actually finally getting, you know, that victory over the line. Obviously, we were very disappointed against Oldland. I think we fell into possibly coasting, maybe a little bit of overconfidence, and I think a little bit of naivety crept in. And I think it was good for the lads to learn what it takes to get that result over the line in the last sort of 5 or 10 minutes when the opposition are coming back at you.
One of the things that's impressed me about Millbrook this season, and I think, you know, when you look at their league position, it's easy to think that, yeah, obviously they've had a difficult season. But when I saw them at Clevedon, and they had a hard day at the office, but they never stopped until the final whistle. So they were never going to be an easy opponent for you. And in some respects, because of the points deduction that's happened recently, that, you know, this was a game that could potentially, had they won it, have changed their season in a way that perhaps they hadn't appreciated. So they must have, going into this game, they must have felt so much that was on the line.
Oh, most definitely. I think we certainly made it very clear to the players how important it was. It was a six-pointer in all sort of respects. And yeah, got to give Millbrook their due. They came up. It's not an easy journey to make, albeit on a weekend. I've got to say, I was incredibly impressed by their work ethic and the attitudes of every single one of their players. In fact, I think they were possibly one of the most difficult games we had, because whereas possibly people have been underestimating what we've been doing over the last couple of months, I think Millbrook saw us as the team to beat, if you see what I mean. Mm. And they certainly, they went all at it and they went gung-ho, and they caused us a lot of problems, especially in the first half. Sorry, I can't remember his name, but their number 10 really, really gave a good account of himself, and to be honest, was unlucky to be on the losing side. But I think they could possibly be in a similar position as Welton. They had quite a young side, possibly slightly inexperienced, and I thought they all gave a very good account of themselves, to be honest.
I mean, it's an interesting result when you compare it to the one that you had a week earlier against Buckland Athletic. I think, you know, most people in the Western League would have thought Buckland would have got a hatful against you, you know, like Falmouth did and like Barnstable did. Buckland are a very good side. but you obviously have instilled some steel in the team that gave you the platform to then go on and manage to get that result against Millbrook over the line.
Yeah, most definitely. It's like I said, I mean, performances, I mean, the lads should be really proud of themselves and each other, because since I've come in, performances have been excellent. We've gone toe-to-toe with certainly four of the top six teams in the league. And I'd say that on occasion, we've more than matched them. I think we were very unlucky to lose against Helston. And obviously, Matt was very kind and complimentary about the boys' performance on that day. Like I said, I think what we saw on Saturday was something a bit new from the squad that we've built, in that it wasn't the prettiest game of football. It was a fight. And I think for the first time, we matched the mettle and the grit and the determination of the opposition. I think possibly if we've been guilty of one thing over the last, as I say, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's that we are very, very good against footballing sides that want to get the ball on the floor, and we can match them. And I think a lot of the time we can outplay them and, you know, give them a good run for their money. Where I had a couple of concerns was, you know, when you come up against the other teams in and around where we are we going to be able to match that work ethic? And definitely on Saturday, they showed that not only can they do the pretty stuff, they can get themselves, basically they can dig themselves out of a hole. Because we made life difficult for ourselves. Again, credit to Millbrook, but we made life difficult for ourselves, certainly in the first half. And it's credit to the lads that they took on board what was said at half-time and stepped up a gear in the second half and really took the game back to Millbrook.
Obviously, this is the first time we've had you on the podcast, so you've come in quite a way through the season. I mean, what was the appeal? What was the project that you were handed at Welton Rovers?
So I've been involved with Mansfield for a few years now, and I saw from the outside that Welton looked to be in a similar position that Mansfield were in, you know, 5-6 years ago, when Mansfield came to the conclusion that they should probably start tapping into the sort of plethora of youth talent they have at the club and start feeding through into the first team. Personally, my philosophy revolves around nurturing young talent. I'd like to think the club are trying or wanted somebody that could build a system that blends the best of local talent with promising players from across the southwest and Somerset. My aim is basically to create an environment where these young players aren't just, you know, filling squads and sitting on the bench, but are contributing, you know, actively and gaining significant amounts of football at a decent standard. Because I think that there are so many players that may feel let down by the academy system, having been attached to a specific club for so long. I think having experienced the disappointment of not, you know, making the grade myself, I'd like to think I've got a personal understanding of what those players are going through. At this moment in time, the job stood out to me as a good project to be involved in, because the club want to encourage the young players to, you know, embrace their time on the pitch, and the club are willing to support a young, inexperienced team that are going to make mistakes, but know that they will be given their all at any moment in time. Because developing players is as much about building character as it is about developing football skills. I think with that in mind, that was a major draw to the Welton job.
So you've got three games between now and the end of the season. A tie against Ilfracombe Town that's probably looking a bit more winnable than it did before that win against Millbrook. And then two away ties against Saltash and St Blasey. Do you think you might be able to get another win for the Welton fans between now and the end of the season?
Yes, I do. I'd like to think that on Saturday the lads learned a valuable lesson in, you know, when your backs are against the wall in the last 5 minutes and teams are throwing men in the box and they are going a little more direct and really trying to get at you, then I think they've learned how to finally get over that line. And I think that going forward, that experience may just be the pivotal moment in achieving hopefully 7 to 9 points in the last three games. I think that this is a perfect opportunity to benchmark the progress of the squad over the last couple of months, and seeing as we're going to be playing teams in and around us in the division. We had, for the first six games, we played the top six teams, which is a little bit of a baptism of fire, but it did give the lads an opportunity to play essentially without pressure. And I think being able to see how far they've come against teams that realistically they need to be beating if they're going to progress next season and try and get into that top half, it's going to be another invaluable experience. And let's not be under any illusions that the season is over. Millbrook, based on their performance on Saturday and based on the attitudes of their players and their management, are going to give absolutely everything they've got to stay in this division. You know, the players played with so much pride in themselves. I'm not going to think the job is done until it's mathematically confirmed that we're staying up. So with that being the case, we are going to set up to take these games seriously, and we are going to set up to try and beat the teams. When we're playing the teams possibly a little bit closer to us in the division, with all due respect, I think they will possibly treat us with as a threat. They will be looking at the increase in our scoring tally. They'll be looking at the names we brought in. They'll be looking at some of our performances over the last few weeks, some of the match reports, and they're not going to take us lightly, and they're going to take us seriously. And I think the lads need to go in for that reason with the best possible attitude that they can. If they can do that, I think they've got every chance of coming out of the next three games with 7 points, which was the aim when I came in, was to double the points tally, which was 14 at the time.
So one final question for you, Ben, and that is, it's a question I ask every manager the first time they come on the podcast. Can you tell us about your journey to the Welton Rovers dugout?
I spent a lot of my childhood with the Bristol Rovers Centre of Excellence. If truth be told, obviously wasn't good enough to quite make the grade, but after so long of thinking that you're going to make it as a footballer, I fell out of love for the game a little bit towards my latter teenage years and my early 20s, and started playing football again probably around about the age of 23, 24. Didn't take it very seriously, played out in the field because, as we know, all goalkeepers are the best playmakers. But then in the towards my mid to late 20s, I thought, I think I played... I was playing for Roman Glass at the time up front, and the keeper was unavailable for a game, and Gerns asked me to go in goal, and after the game he said, you're wasting your time. What are you doing? You're a goalkeeper. You should play in goal. And so from that moment on, I took that on board and started to take it a bit seriously again, went back to playing in goal, and for the last... 7 or 8 years have played for various step three to step six clubs back in goal. During that time, I played for Welton Rovers a couple of times, that's probably where the Welton connection comes from. I've been for injury reasons, it catches up with us all. I started getting involved at Mangotsfield as a more on the coaching side, and helped out there for a couple of years with the first team. During that time, I was also running my son's team, which gave me a little bit of a bug for the coaching and youth development aspects of the game. I think when the Welton job came up at this moment in time, it was just too good an opportunity to turn down. And I thought I'd, you know, put in an application and see where it goes. And that is how I've ended up where we are at this moment in time.
Ben, thank you very much for your time and all the best for the rest of the season. And now, a message from our sponsor.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now we'll take a look into the first division, and two sides that have tussled it out at the top of the table, Cribbs Reserves and Bitten. Who would come out on top? Well, Tom, tell us the answer.
It was the away side, a bit of a thriller, 5 goals between them. And it was Bitten who prevailed by 3-2, thanks to there was some late drama in this one for sure. They did fall behind in the first half, Cribbs going in front, that is, but then Bitten struck twice early in the second period through Ash McGrain and Stephen Lee to turn the scoreline in their favour. And that looked like it was the difference between the sides. It looked like a 2-1 win was on the cards, but then Cribbs Reserves, to their credit, kept pushing and managed to grab an injury time equaliser, made it 2-2, and it looked like Bitten's hard work had come undone. Battle between fourth and fifth, not much to separate the sides, but fair to Bitten. They managed to find a second wind and come again in stoppage time, and then managed to make it 3-2. So it was George Lloyd who scored that winning goal, and managed to leapfrog their opponents in the process. So up into fourth, a 3-2 win for Bitten away at Cribbs Reserves.
5 goals in that game, 8 goals in our next game, but they all went to one side, didn't they, Tom? And a side that really... we should celebrate on this week's podcast because of what they've achieved this season.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So Portishead coming into their clash away at Gillingham, would the pressure tell? Would they, stumble at the last? 3 points will have bagged them the title. And I think we can safely say that wasn't the case. I think it was 5-0 after about 25 minutes. So, there was not much jeopardy in this one, unfortunately, for the neutral. 4 goals up inside 25 minutes. I jumped the gun a bit there. 5 goals by half-time. So, yeah, Portishead sprinting towards the title. They will finish top of the table. And, an incredible game from them. Jack Harpy's found form at just the right time. He opened the scoring for them on Saturday afternoon. And then it was Ethan Felton. Of course, it was Ethan Felton scoring goals 51 and 52 of his season during the first half. As I say, they led by 5 at the interval. There was also a penalty from Kyle Egan. He then scored twice more after half time. So he had a hat trick on a pretty special day for both him and the club. An all round incredible campaign capped off with aplomb. 8-0 victory for them away at Gillingham. So, yeah, all credit, as you say, must go to Portishead Town.
The side that's been chasing them down all season is Radstock Town, the Miners. They had what I considered to be a tricky tie away at Middlesbrough Rovers on Saturday. for once, it looks like the Miners didn't find it that tricky after all.
No, not on Saturday, no. They did the business, didn't they? A 4-0 win for them. Pretty much wrapping up second spot. Middlesbrough unable to score on the weekend. They're usually good for a goal or two. So Radstock will have been happy to keep their clean sheet on Saturday. And it was a couple of goals from Will Osborne that helped them complete the victory away at Middlesbrough.
So I'm delighted to welcome to the Toolstation Western League podcast for the first time Matt Huxtable, the manager of Cheddar. And Matt, congratulations on your win at the weekend. I think probably most people in the Western League won't have seen it coming. But I mean, it's a huge feather in your cap to have got a victory away at Wincanton Town. You must be delighted.
Yeah, amazed and delighted. So thank you. We've probably surprised a couple of people the last few weeks with a couple of wins, a bit in away, Wincanton away, and narrow defeats to Brislington and Porter's Head. So, really good couple of weeks for Cheddar.
Because, I mean, you'd had a couple of heavy defeats before that run, hadn't you? I mean, including a loss away at Warminster and at home to Shirehampton. So what have you managed to turn around, do you think, in the last few games?
Slight tactical changes. We obviously weren't happy after the Warminster defeat, and the Shirehampton game really wasn't great. Just had a bit of a chat with the boys afterwards and all agreed that we'd, as a group, let ourselves down a little bit, that we know we're better than that. And I think we've proved since then that we are. And there's plenty of players and team spirit that are good enough to play at this level and compete with the teams at the top of the table. There's been no wholesale changes or massive differences. It's just getting everyone to put in the right direction and put 100% in. Whenever they can, even though we've had a horror run of games.
Obviously you have, because this isn't a season that is a typical Cheddar season. Cheddar, over, you know, certainly the time that I've been doing the podcast, are a side that's got a very good reputation in the First Division. But, I mean, this has been a difficult side. This has been a difficult season, I guess, for the club on and off the pitch.
Yeah, it's not been easy. I started the season as the reserve team manager and stepped up in February time when Tank left. It's been a challenging period. There are green shoots, I'd say, of some positivity. So on Saturday, for example, we had 5 of the normal reserve team in, 2 of our under-18s making debuts and acquitting themselves really, really well. So there are really good signs. There's no hiding away from the fact that it's not been an easy season, like you say, on or off the pitch.
But the fact of the matter is that you have taken the decision to step up, and I guess the fact that, you know, that Wincanton result is all the more impressive, not least because it was against a very good First Division side, but I suppose that vindicates the project that you've been on since you've taken on the role.
Yeah, that's what I said to the boys when I first started, took the first training session, and said, regardless of where we end up as a club or as a team, prove to yourselves actually that the first 2/3 of the season isn't reflective of what you are and what you're capable of as players. And I think since then, especially more recently, they have proved that, partly to the other teams and partly to themselves, that they are good enough to compete, especially, like you said, with the teams up there at the top of the table.
I'm afraid we have to talk about the weather, because, of course, I think you know, in conversations around the Western League, you're a club that I refer to a lot because you've had so many games to fit in this, the sort of the closing weeks of the season. How have you been coping with that?
It's been interesting, yeah. We won't shy away from the fact that we know our ground doesn't drain brilliantly. We do everything we can. Russ, our groundsman, does a brilliant job of doing everything he can on it, and there's always volunteers down there working on it, as there are with many other teams. But we know it's not brilliant, and it's been particularly bad this year with all of February and pretty much March wiped out. But we're now having to play, I think it worked out, we've got 11 games in 24 days. Walking wounded doesn't come close to what we're currently dealing with. And that's why we're having to drag players up from the reserves, under-18s team. And I'm extremely proud of the way that everyone has mucked in and joined together to pull in the same direction. It's been brilliant.
Well, your pitch might not drain well, but I mean, this isn't the first time I've said on the podcast that, you know, I've been lucky enough to watch games at your ground, and I consider it to be one of the most picturesque sports grounds I've ever visited, you know, it at any level and of any sport. A trip to Cheddar is well worth having. I mean, obviously everybody wants the gorge, everybody wants the cheese, but
well, there's still plenty of opportunity for people to come along. We've still got 5 home games left to squeeze in the next 10 days, so yeah, if you're at a loose end, come down.
You have, and your next game, of course, is against Bitten. Then you've got Cribbs Reserves. I mean, they don't, you know, those two obviously are big sides that have done very well this season. I take it you and your players have taken a lot of confidence from the win at the weekend.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And we went to Bitten last week and beat them 3-2. So, yeah, go into every game now knowing that if we work hard for each other and get a little bit of luck, but show quality in the right areas like we have been in the last week or so, that, yeah, there's no game that we go into fearing now, which has been a really nice shift in mentality, especially since that Shirehampton game.
But in all seriousness, on a physical level, and, you know, I am well aware that many managers in the Western League have talked about the impact that, you know, 3 games a week have had on their players, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we at a stage now where you might start brightly, but basically in order just to manage the fitness levels, you know, we are sort of talking about, well, not walking football, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think you saw that a lot in our Thursday night game last week at home to Portishead. We matched them. Don't get me wrong, they were on top for the most part, but for 60, 65 minutes, it was a fairly even contest. But when you're doing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, 2 weeks in a row, you start to run out of steam. So yeah, on the hour mark or 65 minutes, we tired quite dramatically. We're trying to rest and rotate as much as possible. But on Saturday, for example, half an hour into the game, we didn't have a fit centre-back. So there's lads filling in from centre-mid, dropping back, from left-back, dropping in. Basically, everyone playing out of position and just trying their best.
So obviously you've mentioned that you've got 5 home games coming up between now and the end of the season. The game on Saturday will be at home to Cadbury Heath. Then there are games against Hallen and Hengrove. Now, no disrespect to those sides, but perhaps that win against Wincanton means that there is a bit of optimism for the Cheddar fans, that actually, you know, a couple of wins between now, at least between now and the end of the season are there for the taking.
Yeah, certainly. It doesn't get easy, our run-in, but looking at the table, it looks that it could get easier, although Hallen are flying. But, yeah, we know the situation we're in. To catch Gillingham, we've probably got to win 4 of our last 5, but we've got to go into those games believing ourselves, otherwise there's no point in playing them. So yeah, we go in full of optimism and full of confidence that we can get something out of all of them, and hopefully pull off a bit of a miracle and win 4 of them.
Now, you went there, I didn't, but is that the objective then? Are you still committed to trying to catch Gillingham and seeing if you can get Cheddar up one more place in the Western League First Division?
I mean, I don't see why not. It might sound crazy. And to start with, like I said, I just asked for the boys to have a bit of personal pride and set their own standards. But then you put a couple of wins together against the teams up there and you think, yeah, why not, actually? We can dream a little bit and see where we can end up. It's going to be very, very difficult to get those results with the injuries we've got and with the fitness issues. But there's no point, like I said, in turning up, thinking negatively and assuming that we're not going to be able to catch anyone. So, yeah, why not?
Matt, this is the first time we've spoken on the podcast. And as I ask all the managers in the first time we speak to them, can you tell us a bit about your footballing journey to the Cheddar dugout?
Okay. Yeah, about 5 years ago, I was playing cricket and we had a bit of a football warm-up before a game, and the Cheddar A-team manager was playing cricket with me, and he said, oh, you can kick a football, would you fancy doing it on a Saturday? So I did so, played for the A-team at Cheddar for 4 years, stepped up to be the reserve team manager when the A-team folded this year, and then stepped up again to be the first team manager. So very little experience for myself, no coaching qualifications. I'm very fortunate to have Dave, James and Ethan coaching alongside of me, which have got a bit more coaching experience. So, yeah, I'm organising and I'm man-managing and leaving the tactical stuff down to them.
I think that's the first time we've ever had a cricketing pathway into the into a dugout. I have to say though that I've been lucky enough to do some commentary work with the with a former goalkeeper at Radstock Town, a guy called Jack Scrivens, who's who plays currently. I think he's involved with Bath. So actually, the relationship between football and cricket is obviously a lot deeper than perhaps we would give credit for. It's an interesting spin, or well, pardon the pun, on a journey into football.
Yeah, it's certainly not a conventional one. I played youth football and then started playing cricket instead, but thought why not spend every weekend playing sport rather than just in the summer.
Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us, and all the best of luck for the rest of the season.
We'll take a look at the fixtures coming up. We've got a lot of games going on at the moment. Of course, a lot of teams catching up with where they are. But well, personally, I never know when I'm going to get a chance to edit this and put it out. So I think the safest place to start is Saturday, the 27th of April, Tom. What game has caught your eye in the Premier Division?
I've gone for Helston Clevedon. Obviously, yeah, we've got a side there that have pretty much wrapped up the title in Helston, get another home game, but they take on one of the other big boys in Clevedon who, yeah, fell away a little bit come the end of the year, but they're still up in third and still very much capable of causing a bit of a dent to Helston's celebrations, I would say. So, yeah, looking forward to finding out how that one plays out. Obviously, yeah, as I say, a celebratory day, I'm sure, will be had down at Kellaway Park.
Well, I'm sure you are looking forward to finding out how it's going to play out, but that's not the way that we play this game anymore, is it?
Not
You've
anymore.
Got to give us a score prediction.
I will do my best. I would say that Helston, riding a wave, we're given the win. They usually win by sort of a goal, so I'll go in that. I'll say they win two goals to one. Clevedon also good for a goal usually. So yeah, I'll say a 2-1 home win in Helston's favour.
It is tricky, isn't it? It is tricky to bet against Helston after everything that they've achieved this season. I think that, speaking as a Portsmouth fan, who, you know, other who the listeners might have known have actually got promoted this season and managed to lose at the weekend, I hasten to add. you can obviously get the adverse result. I don't think that will be the case. I would normally go... well, you've gone 2-1. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go 4-2.
Well, there we go. Double it up.
And that's no offence to Clevedon, because, you know, normally you score two at any ground away and you'd be in with a good shout, but I think it might be party time at Helston. Anyway, right, so my pick is going to be my good friends at Barnstaple Town against Buckland Athletic. In many ways, a very, very difficult game to call, because these are two very good sides coming up against each other. If it's the Barnstaple side I saw in the first half, then Buckland could find themselves out of sight by half time. If it's the one I saw in the second half at Brixham, then Buckland have got their work cut out, because Barnstaple have got some very, very good footballers in their team. I think this is going to be an absolutely cracking game. I think it'll be a wonderful atmosphere. Hopefully the weather will be as good. And I'm going to give it to Barnstaple by 2-1.
Oh, okie dokie. So just looking back, it was 1-0 to Barnstaple in the reverse fixture away from home. So will they be able to repeat the trick? I'm saying Jared Lewington is definitely going to have to score, isn't he, to celebrate his excellent campaign. So Buckland will... I'm going to say I'll entertain a 2-2 draw in that one. We'll go for a Desmond.
There we are. Right, now let's move into the first division. And what game has caught your eye there, Tom?
In the first, I've plumped for Brislington's home game with Warminster. And yeah, Brislington, we'll be getting themselves ready for the playoffs, aren't they? So we'll see how they get on against Warminster, who are sort of towards the bottom, aren't they, unfortunately? So I'll go for a home win. Hopefully, Brislington find the shooting boots. I'll say they get four, and I will give Warminster a goal. So we'll go 4-1 home win in that one.
Now, I'm in a very difficult position here, because I really don't want to say anything nasty.
No, you
about
don't. I've tricked you into it.
You have. Problem is, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think you're right about Brislington. If anything... Oh. Oh, shall I? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to a Wiltshire team.
No, you can't. You can't. Brislington. Maybe Brislington take their foot off the gas, you know. Walk the...
No, they won't. No, yeah. Brislington 5. Warminster 0.
You've gone for more than me. Blimey, right?
I know. I shouldn't have done that. I feel really bad. I feel really, really bad. Oh, dear. Now I've got to do my game, haven't I? Right.
Being 1-0 away win now we've done all that.
Well, and, you know, and I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm tempted to go down one of those ridiculous bets where I run around Warminster Town in the underpants. Nobody wants to see that, do they? Come on. But anyway, I don't know why you went there. That was terrible. Right, Keynsham Town against Wincanton Town. Keynsham Town have been putting in some really good performances of late. And, of course, as we know about that Wincanton Cheddar result, Wincanton have gone off the boil.
Mm.
Keynsham, because Keynsham are at home, normally I'd expect a reaction.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be one.
Mm-hmm.
But will it be enough? Keynsham are at home. They found a vein. You know, they've found a way of playing. They found
In goals as well.
So I think I'm going to give this one to Keynsham Town 2-1.
2-1. There'll definitely be goals. As I say, Keynsham are one of those sides that if they find their stride, they do well in front of goals. So I'll say they score 3. I'm going to give Wincanton 2. So I'll say a 3-2 home win. So we are both backing Keynsham to end with a nice home win.
I think we'll do the goal scorers next week, Tom, but we better have a quick look at the league tables because it's that time of the season, isn't it? That's really, you know, we are at the business end, very much so. Mm. And, you know, what do we know about life at the top of the Premier Division?
What do we know? We know Helston are 3 points clear. They have 32 games they have played, so 2 to come. For them, they're on 76 points with a huge goal difference of 73, which is a big advantage for them. As we've touched on, Falmouth, they do sit 3 points behind. They have one game left, so in terms of points, they could catch up. But their goal difference is 19 fewer than Helston's. That is on 54. So even if they were to win on the weekend, they would have to do so at a remarkable rate, wouldn't they? So it looks as though, can't say it officially, but Helston probably have wrapped up top spot. Falmouth in second on 73 points. You then got Clevedon in third, who take on Helston on the weekend. They've played 33, so just one game remaining for them. They're on 69 points. You've then got your friends from Barnstaple in fourth, 32 games, 67 points. And then Bridgewater also having a stellar season, 66 points for them from 32 games. So that's the top five in the Prem.
And we'll just look at the top teams in the first division as well, I think, today, Tom. I think all congratulations go to Portishead Town.
They do indeed. Yes, they've reached the 93 points, which will confirm their top spot for them. They've played 39, so they've still got a few games to come. 3 games remaining, so they could get through to 102 if they won their final 3 matches. And their goal difference is stonking, not surprising. It's at 90 at the moment, with a couple of games to come. They're on 93 points. You've then got Radstock in second, who've played 41, so only one game remaining. They're on 88 points, so 5 back with one remaining. Wincanton also only have one game left. They've played 41. They're on 82 points in third. You've then got Bitten and Cribbs on 80 points. And then the other playoff side, you've got Wells, who've played 40 with 80 points. So 2 a game, that's pretty amazing season for them. And then Brislington in seventh, who have played 39. So quite a busy final week or so for them. And they've got 77 points. So, incredibly tight between third and seventh, just 5 points covering those sides.
And you mentioned Wincanton there in third. Of course, we know what a good side they are. You and I both get gifted 3 points to Keynsham Town at the weekend, who are their opponents, who are down in 17th. So
what do we know?
Well, what do we know? Well, we know a bit about the form guide. Now, I sometimes do worry that some of the nonsense that I come out with on this is used to sort of motivate people. But I mean, Wincanton were looking for an opportunity to, you know, really consolidate their good form this season. And it has been another outstanding season for Wincanton Town. you know, they really need to be fired up for that game against a Keynsham Town side who really do look like they've turned a corner, and I'm really pleased for them for that. Now, of course, we normally talk about your bulletin in terms of where you can find it, and we will indeed do that. But on this occasion, the bulletin isn't on the Toolstation Western League website, because our social media and our webmaster, unfortunately, hasn't been very well over the last couple of days. Now, James Healy will be known to many of you who listen to the podcast. He's been on the podcast many times himself. He's a lovely man, and he's not been very well. So we send our very, very, very best wishes to James on what we hope is a speedy recovery. We are trying to put in place over the next 24 hours the facilities that we need to make sure that we can cover off what James does for us so very, very well on social media and the website. But in the event that we can't, hopefully at least you understand why at this most important time of the season, unfortunately, our ability to give you the usual service that James is so excellent at delivering has been diminished. But as I say, James's health comes first, and we wish him a very, very speedy recovery. Tom, your excellent bulletin. We've been reviewing that. It's absolutely fantastic. We'll get that out as soon as we possibly can. But I guess the most important thing is that you and I, we've got a couple of episodes in us, haven't we, this season?
I think so. I believe we've, got plenty more to look at and look forward to. We got the playoffs, which pretty exciting time of the season. So yeah, plenty to come.
And the Les Phillips Cup, of course. We've got that to come.
Yeah, the finale
as well. Our fantastic League Cup competition. So much to talk to you about. So I look forward to catching up with you, listeners, and you, Tom, on next week's Toolstation Western League Podcast.